Yes, thank you. Well, you've heard in one approach or several approaches for segmentation. There have been at least 40 published, and Tuller and Company, I think you're getting 4 or 5 more. That it is so key to find the best sets of segmentation to understand these pores in 3 dimensions. So that's one aspect of the research that we have at Michigan State University that Wei Wang is completing. During parallel processing, we're beginning to develop some skills and some capacities to run some E. coli, as well as a few icons, a few of ions that are going through these pores under different negative capacities, negative matrix potentials. So what we have here is a bit of a progress report. As you saw in the last acknowledgments, we've been working on this for a year. And we're building on what we started with a few years ago and published in 05, where we could easily put a soil aggregate into a small chamber. We could develop some partial negative matrix potential flow, but mostly it was Darcy and flux in a saturated conductivity measurement. And we discovered that, yes, as we had different soils on the left, we had Hoytville, which is a clay loam. On the right, we had Worcester, which was a silt loam. And you can see the huge differences in forest treatments versus different tillages of conventional and node tillage. Very, very large differences based on aggregate sizes, based on tillage and so forth, of how things changed over short periods of time and over long periods of time. So we've built on this and shown some power law relationships between saturated hydraulic conductivity and pore porosities. Now, it's kind of fascinating here as we looked at this this power law relationship. If we looked at the native forest, there was kind of a cluster of very high KSATs. If we looked at the conventional tillage, we saw there was a pretty good cluster at the other end. But as we saw now a 43-year modification of no-till, we saw progress of clusters here, and we saw progress of clusters here. In other words, what we think is occurring is aggregates are moving back from a continuous tillage system where they're quite broken up quite frequently to a no-till where we're beginning to see continuous pores developing within the aggregates, but it's not 100% in the 40-year period. So as we went through this system, we came to the conclusion and tried to put some negative matrix potentials on this, and it just simply didn't work, especially as we were looking for advective dispersive flux measurements. So we went back to the drawing board and came up with a bit of a cindered porous system and became a quasi-soil physicist with glass beads and soils, okay? So I guess I'm not a glass bead soil physicist, but we've got a soil in there that we're trying to take specific measurements. Here you can see, of course, the cindered glass on an empty system. We have this connected to a vacuum situation where we can establish different PF extractions. We can collect the supernatant solutions or the extracted solutions then come out of the aggregates as well as the bed of soil aggregates. And of course, this is run by a very accurate PF controller. First of all, we had to go through a whole series of what are the water extraction capacities based upon different matrix potential applications. And we looked at 3 different sizes of beads, and just very quickly, the small pores in the 0.1 and the 0.5 matched the soil pores that we were attempting to extract both the chloride as well as E. coli from. And so we had to abandon those, and we used the 1 millimeter size that seemed to have an extraction system different. And here's what we extracted from soils. There was a little bit of loss from glass beads, but most of these pores on a log scale here in the left reverse order here, we could begin to look at specific pore sizes of somewhere around 90 microns for specific glass beads, and somewhere between 20 and 70 micron size pores as we were extracting soil solutions. So as we begin to add components to this, whether it was chloride or whether it was E. coli, we would then use the conventional convective dispersive flow systems of resaturating pores and measuring the supernatants. So as we extracted these, we could develop some advective dispersive fluxes for chloride. It just simply proved to us that our T1s, which was our conventional tillage soils, had this kind of a flow chart. As we moved on to the native succession that you see here at the bottom of this of the graph, and went through several pore size extractions, you can see that there wasn't really too much difference in the total, except we we did discover that after about seven pore extractions, we could remove nearly 100% of the chloride. Well, that gave us some at least confidence that our glass bead system was working fairly well. So we started with specific aggregates and added the E. coli to the surface of the tops and around the edges of these aggregates. And we looked at the T1, which is the conventional till, and compared to the T7. First of all, we'll look at the conventional till. Notice that as we looked across different replications, we saw quite a bit of variability. This was the effluent from the soils, this was from the aggregate itself, and this was from the glass bead. So as we now looked at the different extraction capacity for the native succession, we saw much more uniformity. This gives us confidence again that these aggregates, as they have much less tillage applied to them, redevelop much like what we heard earlier from Stefan Pate and Rainer Horn's papers, that as we go through wetting and drying cycles, I think you demonstrated just one, Stefan, but as we go through wetting and drying cycles, we begin to get these more continuous pores in contrast to what we see in the conventional tillage. Okay. So we ask the question, what do different stocks, different buffers, different salts, since we've put this graph together, we've moved to calcium sulfates as well. The reason we're staying with calcium chlorides primarily is because we're measuring the oxygen status of this aggregate and the oxygen and CO2 consumption and respiration rates. So we wanted to remove any source of oxygen from our carrier solution. But as we look at the factors that affect the E. coli recovery rates that we've added to this soil aggregate and the retention time and the carrier solution temperature, we came to the conclusion that we could probably spend at least 2 hours at four degrees Celsius or perhaps even at room temperature and add these E. coli to the surfaces of aggregates and extract them as we had mentioned earlier. So the second step then in this process was to ask the question, okay, as we added E. coli to the multiple regions of this soil, and you see it here, we would have, what is this, 2, 4, 5, 6, okay, seven application sites of 50 microliters of 10 to the fourth E. coli. These were equally distributed. And then we subjected this simple aggregate to a sharp set of razor blades that were sterilized each time that we made the cut. So we went through the tomographic images and demonstrated, okay, as we added the E. coli to the surfaces, where did they move and where did they begin to reside within the aggregates? This just shows us the first piece that we cut off. Okay, so that's how we did it. And here's the kind of information that we recovered. Multiple replications and so forth, and I won't go into the details, but we had roughly 16 subsections of each aggregate that we cut. And we asked, okay, what happened immediately after we applied the E. coli? And we could see, okay, we had nice distribution in the outer tops, the inner layers, the outer left, and so forth. But as we started moving in the inside, we had much less and less, with one exception here. Perhaps it was a pore, but we had much less E. coli in those inner regions. Okay, if we left this continue to equilibrate as well as to equalize in the gradients, we saw more and more of the E. coli moving in toward the centers, okay? So as that began to happen, what this told us, as we have gone through many of these other things that that Pate and others have published, and as we're expanding our capacities now to better evaluate the three dimensions of the pores, and I believe we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 aggregates that we have run the complete APS imaging, And what Wei Wang is doing for us, of course, is to get the best set of segmentations, and Marcus and others, we're going to continue the process of finding where that best segmentation is on a three-dimensional component, so that now, once we know where the E. coli are, we can at least begin to model how fast do they move in, how long do they reside there, and what is the reproduction and or the loss or death of those E. coli. So I'll stop with these acknowledgments and be happy to answer some questions. Thank you.